2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is your chance to get college football insights straight from the source.
Goal line, let's go!
This is the Players Club as we talk football with some of the biggest stars in the state. Now joining Hans and Scotty from Brigham Young University, Houston Heymoule.
Let's be honest, though. The guy who's really destined for media stardom is Houston Heymoule. Houston, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, man. How are things? What's new after this Utah Tech game? How are you guys feeling?
I mean, you know, it was a game that, you know, we expected to win. Took us a minute to get some traction, but we're glad that we kind of got the result we wanted. So, yeah, guys are happy, and guys are now kind of focused, shifting all of our focus now to Stanford.
So is it like a thick blanket, or is it just like a, like what kind of, what's the blanket like they give you?
It is actually, it's funny. As soon as they gave it to us, I went right home, unfolded it, put it on my bed, and had the best sleep ever. It was amazing.
But tell me, is it like a minky couture, like a thick fuzzy blanket?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, it's like a minky. It's like a thick fuzzy, and like, you know, college kids, we don't really buy blankets like this. So man, oh my goodness, I was freaking rolling around, and then I'm still in it actually.
Ours was like a sheet with a Y on it, and moths got into mine.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, eight holes all over through it. So
your blanket's all looks like Swiss cheese, yeah, right now, huh?
Yeah, I go to sleep with it, and my leg ends up through one of the holes, and it's just uncomfortable. Don't let the moths get in on that thing.
Oh, I have an irrational fear of moths. So yeah, I definitely won't.
Did you say an irrational fear of?
Oh, I am definitely afraid of moths for no reason. Like, they'll just fly around. And I will go to a whole different room if a moth's in the room.
You know, there's a scientific term for a fear of anything. So Lloyd right now is looking up what the fear of moths are and see if he can find out what that is.
So actually, me and my brother and Hema, we are both like all the guys in our family. I don't know. We all scared of moths.
Oh, really? It runs in the family, huh?
Yeah. So if you see Hema, go ahead and just toss one in his room or just like throw one up and see what he does.
He'll love that.
I think it's called monophobia.
Modophobia?
Modophobia. M-O-D-D-E-P-H-O-B-I-A.
Okay. All right. So it's like, looks like the same family. Like, so let's say there's a butterfly coming by. Does that freak you out or no?
Not really as much, because I know it's a butterfly, but like moths are always just kind of like skulking around at night. They're like the ugly cousins of butterflies.
Yeah, they're the creatures exactly of the night.
They're creatures of the night, and that's what scares me.
They do cause problems too, man. They'll eat right through fabric.
Wow. Something new every day. All right. So when it's 20-14 and Utah Tech's got a little momentum, is there any concern on that sideline, or is it like, okay, we know we'll figure things out. We'll be okay.
Yeah. I think it was more of a, everyone knew we weren't playing how we should have. And so we're all like, okay, like it's still nerve wracking knowing that you're down, knowing that the game is this close. But I think I did see a shift in gears when guys were like, all right, it's time to start, like, you know, playing. It's time to start, like, taking you know, this more seriously. You know, I think guys walked out to this game thinking Utah Tech, FCS, will walk all over them. And, of course, you guys saw it was a struggle at the beginning.
Keanu Hill had a good game, and he had multiple fantastic level catches. Talk a little bit about Keanu Hill and that performance, and what type of teammate, what type of worker is he?
Keanu Hill is a worker that he always grinds, knowing, you know, you have an amazing wide receiver room. And he's had amazing games in the past, but, you know, when you have Puka Nacua out there, Keanu plays a role that he always will be ready for when it's his chance. And that's a role that kind of hard for a lot of guys to take. And you know what? In that game, when they started bracket doubling Puka, Keanu is there to shine and was there to make all the catches. Offseason-wise, when we're working, Keanu's one of the most upbeat guys, funniest guys I know. And he's just a grinder. You know, he has a great attitude towards everything we do.
Houston Amuli joining us. It's the Players Club Final Edition with Houston. And it's been fun getting to know you throughout the season and chat college football every week. But now that you got one game left, the Stanford game, I know this has a little special meaning for you coming from Stanford. I know the playing time hasn't been what you would hope it would be, but I mean, do you need to buy A-Rod a milkshake? Like, what do you got to do to get some playing time out there on that field this Saturday?
Oh, man. If only I could buy people milkshakes like that, it would be easier. But, you know, it works with me, though. If you get me a milkshake, I'll be happy to do anything. But, yeah, you know, I'm just kind of just play my role as much as I can, you know. And I'm grateful to be here at BYU. You know, I've loved being here and just being at my dad's alma mater. So it's been a blessing. So, you know, just being here is enough. And that, you know, if they give me a chance, I'm going to take it. Any shot I get, I'll take it.
So things were bubbling up pretty badly after a four-game losing streak. You beat Boise State, really kind of puts out the fire. You beat Utah Tech. I'm sure it's cooled things off quite a bit. Does it just feel more manageable around the locker room right now, Houston?
Yeah, I think that's a good term for it, manageable. Like you said, it's hard when we have a huge losing streak and nothing feels like it's in your control. So after these two wins, you know, now it feels like we kind of get back on the reins. And it's good because, you know, we're about to face, you know, Pac-12 team, Stanford, and they haven't had the season they wanted, but they're still a good team and have good players nonetheless.
So I want to know a little bit more about Tanner McKee. You know, it's funny how NFL scouts look at him with the arm and the size and stuff and go, this guy could be an NFL quarterback, but the production hasn't been there where Stanford would like it to be. But you've gotten to know him both as a player and off the field as well. What kind of person is he? And do you think the talent is there once the system gets put around him to be successful?
Yeah. Person-wise, he's one of the greatest men you'll ever know. You know, he embodies everything you want from an individual in the church as well, LDS member, served a mission, a great kid. And then he also embodies a great character on the field. And, you know, when he first stepped on campus at Stanford, you know, his goal was to make a difference right away. And I love that attitude. And he's a guy who knows how to read the room really, really well. I'm actually impressed because it's a hard skill sometimes. And he's just a great friend. You know, I appreciate his friendship through the years. But talent-wise, you know, he's amazing, you know. And it's hard when, you know, Stanford's been plagued with injuries. And that's unfortunate for their line. That's unfortunate for their skill positions. And it's hard for, you know, Tanner to, I feel like he's had a hard time this year. You know, he's been pressed in that pocket really fast. You know, teams have just brought so much pressure knowing Stanford has lost linemen and lost running backs and protection. But he has the talent. You know, I 100% believe he has the skill and ability to play at the next level.
How bad do you think things have gotten over there? You guys had one four-game losing streak. They've had two. They're currently on a four-game losing streak. You're looking to push it to five, but they had a four-game losing streak at the beginning of the year, losing to USC, Washington, Oregon, and Oregon State. How bad do you think things are there right now, Houston?
I don't know. All I can say is it is similar because I had two seasons there where we were in the same predicament last year as 3-9 as well. You know, it was it gets to a point where I won't say you lose you won't lose faith in each other because, you know, when you're a team, it's a whole different chemistry. You know, you're always grinding for your boys. But it does become harder to, you know, have faith and hope in what's next, you know. And, you know, unfortunately for them, you know, there is no bowl game. And this is going to be their last game of the season. So it's unfortunate. And this last game is what they have to put all on the line.
Houston A. Mouly joining us. You know, when we go to Pac-12 Media Day, there's a few guys I always look forward to chatting with, and David Shaw is one of them. Just seems like a phenomenal person, phenomenal yep. coach, but the production hasn't been there the last couple of years. What do you think needs to happen to try to turn things around there at Stanford to get back to what they used to be?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't know. It's a question that I wish I was more advanced in football to know, because it's been hard. David Shaw is one of the greatest men I know, and he has a very open heart, especially towards the LDS players. You know, that's why I appreciated him. And, you know, he gave me some shots in college and let me shine for as much as I could. So I have a deep love and respect for Coach Shaw. As for what's next for Stanford, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's recruiting or maybe their system right now. Or maybe it's just other teams have figured us out, you know, figured Stanford out and planned very well for them. So, yeah, I wish I had a better answer.
Were you able to get that degree before you left, or are you finishing that up at BYU?
Oh, yeah, no, I got that degree before I left.
That's an impressive piece of paper once you hit the once you hang up the cleats to be able to say, yeah, you know what, no big deal, I just graduated from Stanford.
Oh, yeah, no, I wasn't leaving there without a degree. I think I had the best circumstance, you know, most people could ever have.
So you guys get to bowl eligibility, and that's exciting. That's fun. I've seen a couple of projections. I've seen you in the Armed Forces Bowl, potentially. I've seen the Frisco Bowl, potentially. There's a couple of different potential landing spots for bowl games. How excited are you, and how excited is the team to be bowl eligible?
I'm sorry I cut out a bit, but yeah, they're just having another chance to play another game with your teammates is something most teams won't be able to do. So we're excited just to play with each other again.
Is there a favorite? Look, I've covered a team in the Frisco Bowl. They treat you well down there. Hawaii is a long trip. I'm sure there's a lot of people who would like to go to Hawaii, but it's on Christmas Eve, so that kind of wrecks your Christmas plan. So is there anything out there that you would I hear Boise is lovely this time of year.
Oh, man, come out to that bowl. I'm calling that one.
Is there any favorites, any lobbying going on by the players on where they'd like to go?
I'm going to be honest with you. Hawaii Bowl would be the best. You know, I'd love to, you know, Christmas Eve, but it's Hawaii. Come on now. That'd be awesome. But yeah, most guys honestly don't really have a preference right now. Everyone's just like excited just to have the chance to be at a bowl game.
Well, Houston, we appreciate it, man. This has been a lot of fun getting to know you, and thanks for joining us every week. I know it's been a season that may not have gone the way that you thought it was going to on a couple different levels, but we appreciate you being kind enough to join us every week and have some fun with us and screw around a little bit and put up with our dumb jokes. So it means a lot. We appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you guys having me and putting up with my dumb jokes. So it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Houston.
Great stuff, Houston. Thanks.
Hey, much love to y'all. Appreciate y'all.
You got it. Houston A. Mouly, right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.